This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good morning to you and yours. It is May the 11th of 2021. The show is DCR. We take you till 8 o'clock this morning, and that's when KJZ takes over. Let's say good morning to the guys, and let's say good morning to Rick DiPietro. Rick, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave. Got a nice night of sleep. Looking forward to doing show number two with the big fella filling in for Chris Candy today, and I'm sure you remind everyone that coming into every segment.
Most segments. I think every segment might be overdoing it. Now, you did call me after the show and say you were somewhat disappointed in his performance yesterday. I don't know if I was...
That did not happen. Called you and told you was you were very mean yesterday to the callers first, and then when you pulled out the line of, I'm going to call you on Friday to see how you're doing, and you'll have to peel your CPAP machine off.
You adored that line. With all that, hi, Jinx. Good morning, Chris Carlin. How are you?
I feel like $100. How are we doing, boys?
Are you ready? I mean, listen, this is day two now. You've now awakened yourself in the middle of the night for two consecutive days. Honestly, how are you feeling?
I feel fine. I feel great. I'm rejuvenated. It's been like a fountain of youth for me to get up this early. I did this for a long time, so I was mentally prepared for this. And then you add the early morning DiPietro factor to the whole thing, and I couldn't be more jacked.
Well, in theory, you could be more jacked.
Oh, come on.
In a literal sense.
He's a guest on our show. Leave the guy alone. Welcome him in like you would someone into your home.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking at myself in the Zoom, and I do look a bit chesty today.
Oh, my goodness. You are raring to go today, aren't you?
Sure. Really are. Absolutely. Let's do this. I'm excited.
Are you familiar with the segment that is called CMT on the show?
I have had many problems over the years with some of the selections that have been made on CMT. And so, yes, I'm very familiar with it. And some of the takes that come out of it are just...
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
so you think
scorchers.
Is it fair to say you believe you're better than we are at the game CMT?
No, I know it.
You know that you are?
Yes, absolutely.
So I told him to be nice to those that were welcoming into our home, but you are welcomed into the home, and then you're going to, you know, rub your muddy shoes off on the carpet.
Butt down on the couch and ask for some chips and a beer. Let's go.
Wow.
Exactly.
Very aggressive. Now, you do realize that we do CMT incorrectly also, right?
What do you mean?
Well, it's I don't know what it's morphed itself into, but whatever it was supposed to be, it is no longer. We're supposed to be given three choices, and you cuddle one, you marry one, you trash one.
Right.
And that's not what it is anymore.
What is it now?
It's okay, a hodgepodge. What do you do now? He throws something out, and we decide whether we would cuddle, marry, or trash that.
Yeah. Oh, so we're just making up our own rules now.
Yes.
Yeah, this is what happened, Carlin. I mean, it gets infiltrated by the suits, the bosses upstairs. They want pacing, they want sound, and all of a sudden it turns in from a beautiful segment where we're cuddle, marrying, trashing. If I give you, you know, the burger from Five Guys, Wendy's, or Shake Shack.
Right. Then you cuddle one, you marry one, you trash one.
Yeah.
Now he would just say, the Wendy's burger, what do you do? Do you cuddle it, do you marry it, do you trash it?
In that group, I trash it.
No, I already know, Carlin. Know your co-host. Carlin would not only marry the Five Guys burger, he would also impregnate the Five Guys burger. He loves it that way.
Who's your team?
I mean, it was so benign. All I said to you yesterday is what football team do you root for? And you really went off the handle.
Well, I went off the handle because
Hoochie, Hoochie, Hoochie,
I went off the handle because we're looking at each other in the Zoom, and I can see you, and I can see the glint in your eye, which has got that tenor to it. No, it was not.
I was like, what football team do you root for? And you become all bent out of shape. Oh, why would you ask me that question? Oh, who's your team? Oh, no, I just say who my team is. Did you say who you root for? It's okay to root for that team?
That was your tenor.
That was not my tenor.
That was absolutely your tenor.
I said, Carl, who do you root for in the NBA? And then he's just like, well, I don't really have an NBA team. I said, how about the NFL? Oh, who's your team? Why do you have the team?
No, because your tone went from who do you root for in the NBA, just like that, to, oh, yeah, who you root for in the NFL? And you gave me this whole, I knew what was coming. And Rick, please tell me that I'm wrong here.
Did I do that at all?
No, hang on. I knew what was coming. What was coming was, well, you're from New York, but you're not rooting for anybody here. So you absolutely have no valid opinion here whatsoever.
No. And I'll tell you why you're out of your mind. You can root for whoever you want to root for. My only stipulation is that you choose that team as a child and you'll become a fan of a team when you're like 24 years old. That's it. Whatever team you pick and you root for when you're a little kid, you stick with throughout.
Fair. Again, me dropping the Mets probably doesn't go a long way there.
Well, I think it's disgraceful.
Okay. But listen, Mookie was my guy growing up. That was it.
Come on. You can't give up on an entire organization because they move on from one player.
And I was there in the awful years, and they went and won, and I went and picked another team that was awful when I was 17. I wasn't 24. I was 17.
Now, I do have an issue with that. And Rick, I think you have an issue with that as well.
No, I'm on Carlin's side here. I know exactly where. Yesterday was headed right down where it ended up, where he mentions the Mookie Wilson thing and how he quit on the Mets, and you instantly judged him and said, this
I did
is
judge
disgraceful.
Him. I did judge him. I didn't like that. I think that is disgraceful.
And I understand where people would feel that.
Oh, no, I did say who my team is. Did you say who you is okay to root for that team?
Dave, I mean, you absolutely had that in your mind, and the fact that you won't admit it just speaks volumes about your own fandom
insecurity. Get into my mind. You couldn't handle what goes on in my mind.
You're right, I couldn't.
You would be wowed at the lunacy that goes on in my mind. And you saying you were a Steelers fan, and that's when you started your bit, I have no issue at all. You chose it when you were a kid.
Now I'm doing bits.
Well, you're big. Who's your team? You sound like the Mighty Dog or the Hungry Dog or whatever.
I was just heading off your just unprovoked attack that was coming at the pass. That's all.
He was setting you up because you already knew the answer. He was judgy. It was Dave. You're completely wrong on this one. You were taking down that road.
I'm so sick of you. It's like you and I are the married couple. We invite him into the home. You're supposed to be on my side no matter what. The children never see us fight. We're not going to fight in front of the visitors, and you're going to take his side? You know what? I'm done. I'm done with both of you. You can have each other. You can do your bits. You can defend him all you want. You root for the Islanders. He roots for the Texas Rangers. He doesn't have an NBA team. Have at it. Go ahead.
Oh, you have a team? Who are your team?
You invite him into our house. You're nasty to him. I'm trying to be nice to him.
Nasty to him? He walks in. He's got mud all over his feet, and he wipes it on the new carpet. He's like one of my dogs.
Well, secretly, I'm having an affair with Carlin, too. You should know that now.
There's no secret now.
Oh, I can't help you. I can't help you. If you're not willing to admit where you were headed with that, and we all know it. Everybody in the tri-state area knows it, yet you won't admit it.
I am nothing but honest. All I give to this program, to my life in general, is honesty.
See, and I think that's your bit. I think that's exactly how you try to
sell this. That's what I am. I'm nothing but I will call you out if I think that you deserve to be called out. I didn't have an issue. The Mets, I have an issue. Your Steelers, I had no problem. And you became all defensive and couldn't handle it and got into your little bit. So that's fine. I'm going to leave that at the door. All right. We're going to check that at the door today. I'm going to try and look past it. I'd like to talk about the Knicks a little bit, if you're okay with that.
Whatever helps you sleep at night, okay?
Nothing. Nothing helps me sleep at night. The Knicks play at 10 o'clock tonight, so I will be sleepless heading into the game. Into the show tomorrow. All right, so Knicks and the Lakers. Sounds like LeBron is going to play in this game, but not a whole heck of a lot of minutes. Do you go into this one, Rick, saying like they've already done what they have to do, or they've done what they had to done on this road trip?
I've done what I came to done.
Yeah, at you know 3-2, and whatever happens tonight, or do you look at this and really expect the Knicks to go out there and beat the Lakers tonight?
I think 3-3 on a 6-game road trip that we thought was going to be the toughest challenge of their season is a good road trip. I mean, at this point, I mean you've already taken care of a huge win, their biggest win of the season. I think we all agree on that with the Clippers. Is now you want to cap it off the right way? Is it realistic to think that they can beat the Lakers? I don't know. They just beat the Clippers. LeBron's just coming back. He'll be on a minutes restriction. I mean, Anthony Davis had an unbelievable game leading into this one. Sounds like they've reawakened the beast, is what they're saying, in L.A. But, I mean, how good would this be for us, Dave, as Lakers, as Knicks fans, to rub this in Canty's face when he gets back?
Oh, if he gets back, yeah, this would be unbelievable. Now, let's take a listen before we let you chatter on, Carlin. Let's take a listen to Brian Windhorst. On Greeny yesterday, saying that win against the Clippers was the biggest win for the Knicks in years.
I think that was the biggest win they had in about 7 years. I'm trying to evaluate it, and maybe I'm forgetting something, and I'm not a ad nauseum Knicks guy, but that was an incredible victory. Not only because of the standings, they're trying like hell to hold on to four, but to play a game like that, the Clippers were full power, wanted that game, and the Knicks had to have it, game four of a road trip, and they won it. To get that victory just says so much about how far they've come as an organization. That was I have to qualify this saying it was a regular season game, but it was as big of a regular season game as the Knicks have won in recent memory.
Now, Carlin, we said yesterday, I think you actually said it, this is the biggest, we all agreed with you totally, that this is the biggest Knicks win of the season. It didn't even occur to me, but he's probably right. This is probably the biggest win for this organization in 6-7 years.
Easily. He probably is right. And I can't get over the fact that that's the case. I mean, this is how barren it's been for that long. And it's really over the course of about 20 years. And if you went back before that, try picking the biggest win before 2013 when they won 54 games. You know, you think back to exactly what this whole just generation, quite literally generation, has been for the organization and as bad as it's been. I'm excited that that was the case the other day. I'm also horrified that that was the case the other day. And as far as where they needed to get here, I have been of the opinion for probably the last month that if they could get to 40 wins, that was going to lock up the top five. And you're two away from that with four left, with the Lakers and then San Antonio, Charlotte, and Boston at home. So easily doable in my estimation. And if that's the case, just wow. Just absolutely wow.
I'll tell you what, though, and you guys probably won't agree with me, but I'm so sick of the media and having to listen to, and you guys know how much I consume as far as TV and radio and everything else, the amount of different opinions as to what the expectations for the Knicks are now and how disappointed you'd be. It drives me crazy.
It's disgusting.
If at one point yesterday I heard, well, I fully expect them to beat the Heat if they face the Heat in the first round of the playoffs. Really? You fully expect them to beat the Heat? For what reason? Explain to me the reason why you would fully expect the Knicks to beat the Heat in a 7-game series.
Or how about, haven't you heard this one as well? Well, you know, we'll see what the Knicks do in the postseason to determine whether or not this was a successful season. No. They could get swept in the postseason, and this has been a successful season. They could, and I know, Carlin, you expect it, but they could lose to Atlanta, and this has still been a successful season. With the expectations of what we thought, the amount of money they have, the fact that this organization has completely done a 180 and is a legitimate team that I think any free agent would be interested in now, this has already been a successful season.
Yeah, no, it doesn't change the outcome of the year for me, okay? It doesn't take away from what's gone on all season long if they were to lose to the Hawks and or at this point the Celtics. But that's not going to happen anyway. If you were in that position, all it does is end the year on a very disappointing note for me. That's what I mean. It would not take away from what this has been in the larger issue, in the larger picture here. And that is that they have taken steps of leaps and bounds in the span of a year, not just in terms of being a better team, but being a better organization. And this quickly, turning into that destination for that next player that is absolutely going to be available via trade when they get disenfranchised with what's going on elsewhere.
Which we all know will happen at some point in the not-so-distant future.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, you remember that awful moment I had when Frank Isola joined us a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, you say awful. I say one of the best moments of the show.
Oh, Carlin, you got guys, do you have this? This was beyond anything that I've ever done. Early risers will get work. Can I at least defend what happened there, Carlin, to you?
Please do what you must.
I don't know if it'll work. He was talking about Rick wakes up so early, and any former athlete that wakes up early will always get work. We'll get work. Right. And I was trying to say, I can't even think of it now.
The early bird gets the worm.
Catches the worm. That's what I, but as it was going through my head, I was like, well, how do you say it? What do you say? What is it? And I couldn't remember exactly what it was. And then I said that. Early risers will get work.
Here's why I fear for you at times, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
And it's so
easy. Do you not
easy.
Like me, by the way? Do you not
no,
care
I love you.
For me?
Oh,
okay.
I fear for you. I fear for you, and you'll see why in a second. I absolutely love you. When you get up this early, your filter tends to disappear, and obviously brain function is not what you would always want it to be.
Right now, it's rule 76. No, it's not. It's 3 stars.
Sometimes it can get away from you, but I fear for you more with Rick here this early.
Yes.
Because Rick is so quick and going to try to slide that one joke in that maybe you don't necessarily want to react to or move on from.
But and thankfully, we have checks and balances. We have the guys back in the studio who, God forbid, I do anything that is not appropriate, they can dump it.
Well, what if, you know, that doesn't happen?
Yeah, well, then it'll not be DCR anymore. Uh-oh. Yeah.
It'll but be I DCC. Do fear for you because, let's call it what it is, Rick's a wild card at times.
He is a wild card, and you never know what he's going to say. And also, he's Teflon. He can do whatever he wants, and you know who gets blamed for him doing that? Mm. Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been there too.
How could you allow Rick to do that? What do you mean? How could I allow? What? I don't have control of Rick. How come you can't control him? Well, Dave, you really have to do a better job of controlling Rick. It's really unfortunate that you don't do a better job with that. Well, what?
I can't believe Dave let you tell that joke, Rick. How dare
you? How could you allow him to go there? I did not allow. There was no allow. This is what he does. He does whatever he wants to do.
I actually got a funny story. I actually got a phone call. Remember when I told you I had a joke and you let me tell the joke about, you know, Cinderella, and she went, and then the fairy godmother said, if you don't come back by midnight, you'll turn into a pumpkin. And she shows up at 2 a.m. and they're like, well, what happened? You turned into a pumpkin. Oh, how was the date? Oh, it went perfectly. His name was Peter. I got a phone call that afternoon, and they blamed you for letting me tell the joke.
No, I'm not kidding. I used to do Knicks pre and post, and it was live. There was no delay or anything. And Derrick Rose was on with us post game, and Derrick Rose cursed. He cursed on live radio. Mm-hmm. Who do you think got blamed for that?
That would be you.
How could you allow Derrick Rose to? Are you? And I was incredulous. I was like, "You're going to blame me for Derrick Rose cursing?" Yes, you have to do better. You have to be better.
Well, here's
you
know what it is.
I give up.
When the kid drives the car into the bridge abutment, you don't blame the kid. You blame the guy that handed the keys to the kid. True or false?
That feels like a shot at me right there. Is what that feels like.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
No, you're the happy-go-lucky guy. You're playing your role, Rick. You're doing what you're supposed to do.
I'm like the goon that I just roam around.
You're the Ty Domi. you just let it fly. And
no, but it's almost like
let everybody else deal with the fallout. That's what they're there for.
He's the child. He can do no wrong. And if he does any wrong, Carlin, it's my fault.
You gave him the sugar. You gave him the sugar at 7:30
at night. If it's sensational, Rick, and he's dropping jokes, and he's got one-liners, and he's ratings are great, then, oh, Rick, oh, thank you so much for everything you bring to the table. But if it's bad, Rick, if it's the Rick that we're not looking for, that is now my fault. All right, let's see what kind of Rick we get from this reaction. Max Kellerman, first take a listen to this little ditty.
If you asked me before the season started, I'd be like, if the Knicks get to the playoffs, this sorry bunch get to the playoffs, that's a huge success. But we're not in the beginning of the season anymore. And expectations have reset. If you can win 11 out of 12 games, you know, you should be able to take a best of seven from a team like the Hawks. And whether people want to admit it or not, if they lost to Atlanta in the first round, yeah, it would be disappointing. If at this point, not at that point, preseason, you're right. We are not in the preseason. At this point, if you're talking about what is a success, it's not going out, winning a game or two, letting the other team know you were there. It's beating the Atlanta Hawks. They just beat the Clippers. They won 11 of 12 at one point. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. You know why they're shooting it better now? They play unselfishly. They stay connected both ends of the floor. Thibodeau's done an amazing job. Julius Randle's a top five MVP. All those things are true. Derrick Rose, sixth man of the year candidate. All those things are true. I take my hat off to them. But because they're true, you got to beat Atlanta in the first round now. You got to beat Atlanta in the first round.
All right, listen. Would we be disappointed if they don't beat Atlanta? Sure, we'd be disappointed. It takes, and I said it before, Rick, it takes nothing away from this season. This is a phenomenal season, whether or not, whatever you do in the postseason, this has been a successful year for the Knicks.
A couple things. First, what kind of Rick do you want? Just give me, explain to me what kind of Rick you want.
You're not a mature enough person to just do your thing.
I'll just do my thing. Okay, I'll give you the best Rick I got. Okay. Okay, first of all, Max is not qualified to speak on the Knicks. Because he's a fraud. Because he used to be a Knicks fan, and now he jumped ship, and now he's apparently a Lakers fan.
Well, that's what Carlin did.
He jumped ship because they traded his favorite player, not because they were bad. That's why he left the Mets. Because he was a Mookie Wilson fan first, and Mookie Wilson left. He didn't like it, so he left. Don't try to change the subject. Don't put Chris and Max in the same category, because they're not. Max is a fraud. Right, he left because until James Dolan sells, I'll come. But no, you're not welcome back. You made the choice. You're a Lakers fan now. Stick with it. Okay. Second of all, we don't know how the playoff series is going to play out. We haven't seen it play out yet. If it's seven hard fought games and just they happen to lose a close game in game seven, you'd be that disappointed. Really, honestly, you'd be that disappointed. In the 11-12 beating the Clippers, whatever you do in that has no bearing on what happens in the postseason. It's a completely different brand of basketball. Completely different brand of basketball. All the things that the Knicks set out to achieve this season so far, this is step one of the process. Step one. We're in phase one of the process. They've achieved all those things so far. I mean, we've been talking about this team just making sure they get into the play-in round of the playoffs. The play-in round. And now they can secure, I mean, they have a chance to secure a home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, listen, if it's Atlanta,
over the other teams?
Yes, that would be the best matchup. But to say that you'd be disappointed with the Knicks season if they lost to Atlanta in the first round of the playoffs, I think is ridiculous.
Well, there's disappointed, and then there's disappointed with the season. See, right now, I would prefer to keep it not necessarily full-on big picture. I want to enjoy the moment if I'm the Knicks fan. And as such, I would be very disappointed if they lost to the Hawks. Now, it would not take away from where they are in the overall process. It would not take away from where I believe they're headed at that point.
So this season for you is already a success, right? This season for you, no matter what happens from here on out, is a success, correct,
Carlin? How could it not be? I would be very disappointed if they lost to the Hawks. I would be very disappointed if they lost to the Hawks. It would not take away from what has been accomplished already, from major developments in the grand picture. But they have been so far gone for so many years that I would like to at least be able to sit and focus in the moment and enjoy the moment and look at a potential playoff matchup and say, yeah, the Atlanta Hawks, there's absolutely no reason we shouldn't beat the Atlanta Hawks. There's
yeah, but the Atlanta Hawks are saying the same exact thing, Carlin. That's what the Atlanta Hawks are saying.
You think if the Hawks could have their choice of who they would go up against in the first round, they wouldn't choose the Knicks?
I don't know that they would.
Oh, over Boston, over Milwaukee, you don't think
Well, Boston, they especially now without Jalen Brown, but they would
absolutely.
They're
not going to get Boston. Boston's going to be in the play-in thing.
Right. They're going to be in the play-in. But I would say that, no, I don't necessarily know that the Hawks would pick the Knicks just because of the style of how the Knicks play, because of how they harass you all the time. You know, there are absolutely teams in the league that just can't stand facing them because they are up in their grill on virtually every possession. And it is, you know, it feels to those teams like this is now going to beat me up for the next 48 minutes.
So I get that.
But Connor, time out. If you ask the Atlanta Hawks right now, because, I mean, we'll take the Celtics out of this conversation for now. Do you want to face one of the big three in the East, the Knicks or the Miami Heat? Which team are they picking?
You're taking the Knicks.
You're taking the Knicks. And that's no slight to the Knicks. But that's no slight to the Knicks. But it's a dangerous game we start playing when the media starts making these proclamations of the expectations of a team. This is what happened to the Rangers. This is exactly what just happened to the Rangers. People in James Dolan ear telling them, this team's underachieving. There's way too much talent here for this team not to be a playoff team. That's not the reality. This team is in the hardest fit. They weren't going to be a playoff team. If they were lucky, they would have been a playoff team. Like, because you know what's going to happen with the fan base. They listen to Sports Talk Radio, and they listen to Max, and all of a sudden they get in their heads that if they lose to the Atlanta Hawks in the first round of the playoffs, they should be disappointed.
Yeah.
Rather than living in the moment and enjoying what the season has been.
Just take what it is, and we'll recap
but
it.
But isn't living in the moment just that? You know, get into the playoffs, you enjoy the fact that you're in the playoffs, and you're going up against a team that you've beaten three times during the year?
Why don't we do this? Hey. We got to table this for the moment. I'm being yelled at.
Now you're going to stick to the clock.
I'm being yelled at.
I'll play along.
Stop letting Rick just go on forever is what I'm being told. All right? So I had to interject. I had to interrupt. And
Dave, when are you
going to
grab control of this, okay?
I have to grab control. And Carlin, you of anyone should respect the fact that I had to take control and we have to take a break.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Han has now positioned me as a bad guy because J-Will and I have actually never spoken. Not once. And yet yesterday I'm in the car. I'm running some errands. 1 o'clock, I flip on, Bart and Han. And there's J-Will on Monday when Tuesday's his normal day. And guess who's hosting today? That's me, along with Wischusen. So we moved him up a day to be on with Han and Bart. Every single time that I am hosting on that show, he has blown us off like a piece of lint. And now he pulled it yesterday. I mean, come on. There is no way
he doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. Now, I don't know if you want to blame Han. That's up
to
you.
No, I blame Han.
So then,
I think J-Will is merely a pawn in Han's little game of Game of Thrones.
So then don't you... I mean, let's call this out honestly. You have to dislike Han.
I love Han.
How? How could you love a guy that is putting people against you?
But this is the point. I don't understand what I've done to really cause all this vitriol toward me. You called me jolly yesterday. I think I'm jolly. I think I'm personable. Yet, all of a sudden, I can't get anybody to like me because Alan Hahn is ruining all of my relationships at this network.
He's threatened. This is what happens when you bring a two-time New Jersey sportscaster of the year onto the lineup.
Is this a back-to-back?
No, it's not a back-to-back. We went a good 5-6 years in between wins.
Here's the bottom line. You're getting jobbed by Hahn. Some would say a Hahn job.
Carlin, please. Just please. Carlin, go.
Here's the 2-1.
Low and away.
I think I'm jolly.
Or high and tight, as it might be.
See, now you're not helping your cause.
No, because it's early.
Now it
like
is your fault.
You said, I'm not functioning at full capacity.
Look, I don't know why Han would have this issue with me. And then, how about this? RJ, please explain to me where I'm wrong here, if I'm reading this wrong. I say yesterday, you know what? Let's just joke around with Han about it. Get him to come on tomorrow morning before the show. We'll promote the show and all that. No. Time squeeze. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't come on between 5 and 6 today.
Where is Bart, by the way? Why is Bart not on the show today?
I think Bart's taking a couple of days off. Bart's been working hard lately.
Oh, for God's sake.
He has.
I mean,
let me tell you something. I was up there with him in Bristol for the draft. That guy busted his tail.
Mean, stop it. He's working so hard. What we do is so easy. Stop it.
All I'm saying is he's running around juggling a lot of things, and he's taking a couple of days off. So you want people to sit here and say the same thing when you're off this summer at some point?
Yeah, the summer. The summer. The keyword is
summer.
The summer. Yeah, you're jiggling a lot of things, too, but you're working two shows today. It's a two-hour radio show. We're taking days off now.
And he's got a lot going on.
He's
chuckling a lot. What could he possibly have going on between 12 and 2 that he couldn't do that show?
All I can tell you is I know Bart's work ethic. And I know why I trust anything that he says. And now, Han, I mean, please, what am I reading wrong here? Am I reading anything wrong? Rick, you know this guy. How long? 20 years? Easy?
Yeah, but Rick used to hate him.
Used to hate who?
I thought you didn't like Han when he first covered the Islanders.
No, I never said that.
Yes, you have.
No, baloney. We used to get into fights all the time, but I always liked Alan. He's the reason
why
I started doing radio.
He invited somebody you really like.
No, I always liked Alan.
Well, then explain to me what's going on here, Rick. What am I reading wrong?
Alan doesn't like you. He's threatened by you, and of course. I mean,
why would he be threatened by me?
But here's the thing, though. How do we know Alan's not the one that told Bart to take the days off, so we didn't get a chance to work with you today? That could have happened too.
I've worked with Bart a lot the last few weeks. I don't think that's happened.
This is
what a wonderful person I am. I'm still willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on that.
No, stop it. No benefit, no doubt. It's ridiculous at this point. We need Jay Williams on the show. RJ, get Jay Williams on the show tomorrow morning, please.
Okay.
Get him on Zoom too, so I can see he looks like he's surprised when he's on the show. With those eyes.
Yeah. And he realizes that I'm on and not, you know.
Don't when you get him on, tell him it's me and Rick. Don't tell him about Carlin. We'll then just present him Chris Carlin, but we need to get him on the show. We need to get to the bottom of this. There's no way there was a flat tire yesterday.
Yeah, and my I'm guessing his first reaction is going to be, who? You know, because Han will have told him that I'm a terrible guy, and he should just not even acknowledge the fact that I'm here, and act like he doesn't know me.
It's the whole thing is very unsettling.
He's such a what did I do? What did I do?
Therein lies the question. All right, now we had the conversation, and I had to interrupt you, and I thought I did a really, really nice job in doing so. I got right in the middle. I said we got to break it up. We have to go to break. Let's pick up where we left off on the Knicks and about what this postseason is. It's already a successful season. Carlin, you've kind of changed the narrative a little bit, right? Where you'd be disappointed if they lost to Atlanta. That's the only team that you look at realistically that would disappoint you with a loss. But you're telling me right now, if you ask the Hawks, you can play Miami, you can play Milwaukee, you can play the Nets, you can play the Sixers, or you could play the Knicks. You don't think that they would, to a man, say, give us the Knicks?
No. You're changing that now. If it was between the Heat and the Knicks, I think they would take the Heat. They've beaten.
You think they would take the Heat over the Knicks?
Yes, because they've beaten the Heat twice this year. I don't think there's anything that intimidates them about the Heat. But I think the fact that you have this team that defensively operates the way the Knicks do, and they beat you up, I think they would absolutely rather play the Heat. As far as the top three in the conference, no.
The Heat were in the NBA Finals.
I understand that, but can we agree that that was one of those situations where it was a good run?
You know, it was a good run. You're right. And they capitalized on being in the bubble and everything else. But Jimmy Butler has been in and out of the lineup the entire season. They got one of the best coaches in the league. They already have the postseason experience. Nothing that would intimidate you about the Miami Heat? Bam Adebayo doesn't intimidate you? Jimmy Butler doesn't intimidate you?
Like a guy should shoot from half court.
I don't know. I would have to make that phone call.
The style with which the Knicks defend would give the Hawks fits. And it has given the Hawks fits.
But, Carlin, Miami's capable of defending the exact same way.
But yet the Hawks have beaten them twice this year.
The regular season matters for the Knicks, Carlin. The regular season didn't matter for Miami.
Didn't the regular season matter for the postseason? So Miami just tossed aside the regular season. We'll see in the postseason.
Look at what Miami did. Miami was the dregs of the NBA for the first half of the season. And then all of a sudden, things have gotten much better. And now they're gearing up for the postseason. Yes. I honestly think it's a terrible take. I do. I think you can think it's wrong, but you can think it.
That's fine. All I can tell you is, if you ask the Hawks, there's virtually no doubt in my mind that they would much rather play the Heat.
Oh, my God.
There's none. Dave, you're acting like this is so absurd. First of all, the Knicks are better than the Heat this year. Better. They have a better record than the Heat this year.
The Knicks have had a better regular season. There's no way you believe the Knicks are better than the Heat.
I think the Knicks right now are a better team than the Heat. It doesn't necessarily mean I think that the Knicks would beat the Heat because of the matchups. I think that would be problematic. And if the Knicks lost to the Heat, I would understand it. I think the Knicks are overall, though, a better team than the Heat this year. Absolutely.
Well, I don't understand how in the same sentence you can say that you would expect the Heat to beat the Knicks, who play almost... But Carl, they're almost an identical team. The Heat are who the Knicks are trying to be. They're just a better version of it.
Now, the Heat as an organization are who the Knicks are trying to be.
But the team is the same. You're trying to build the same team.
There is a lot more talent on the Heat than on the Knicks. Can we agree about that?
Yes, we can. Isn't that the exact point?
I'm saying that they have played better as a team this year and thus are a better team. Now, when it comes to matchups, I don't like that from a Knicks standpoint. That doesn't mean the Heat are better. It means they have better matchups against the Knicks.
But it would be the same. It would essentially be the same matchup. You're taking a better version of the Knicks and putting them against the Hawks. Teams that play similar styles. The Knicks and the Heat play a similar style. And you just told me that the Heat have a more talented team that plays that similar style, and not to mention the playoff experience of being in the NBA Finals. So you think the Hawks would choose the Heat because they're going to lean on the fact that they beat them twice in the regular season?
I think if you ask the Hawks right now, okay, that they would absolutely choose to play the Heat over the Knicks because they've beaten them, because they have a sense of more of what they're about in terms of their own matchups there, and also because can we just admit what that Knicks even means?
Well, the last thing you said almost was like a word salad. They have a better sense of what?
They have a better sense of what they could do in terms of their matchups. They can have more success in their matchups, Dave.
Timeout. Let me call 20. There is no chance in hell that Eric Spoelstra was setting up matchups in regular season games against the Atlanta Hawks.
Setting up matchups.
You think defensively they're going to play the same way in the postseason against the Atlanta Hawks that they played in the regular season against the Atlanta Hawks?
I didn't say that.
Well, you pretty much just did. They can take advantage of their matchups.
I'm saying that if they had a preference for who they would want to play, they would rather play the Heat than the Knicks.
RJ, get Nate McMillan on the phone. I want him on the show immediately, please. Call down to Atlanta.
Dial him up. I'm sure he'll give you the straight answer.
Dial him up immediately.
Listen, you can think I'm nuts for having this take.
Nuts.
You can think that. That's fine. It doesn't make you right either.
I think
what I'm saying is that they have. What I'm saying is that they have absolutely played better basketball this year, and as a group, as a whole, defensively, they would no question rather face the Heat than the Knicks.
All right, listen, we go around in circles. I could not disagree with you anymore, and I think Rick feels the same way.
Let's take a listen, Dave. I'm going to take the last one. Here we go.
We're going to do voices now.
We're going to do voices. You didn't hear me.
I can just act despondent over your take, and thus,
I'm just telling you this. In my personal experience, playing hockey, right? And we didn't make it to the playoffs a lot. But, I mean, there is no way that we would hang our hat on success in a regular season going into what we expected to see in the postseason. Because it's a completely different animal. What are you going to face?
Like, I understand.
The Islanders are playing, right? The Islanders ended up losing last night, right? They lost in OT.
They have Pittsburgh, yes.
So now they have Pittsburgh. If you look at overall what the Islanders have done against Pittsburgh this season, Pittsburgh has dominated the regular season against the Islanders. I'm telling you right now, if I was given the choice, do I want to play Pittsburgh that's dominated me in the regular season?
Yep.
Or Boston in the first round of the playoffs? And I've actually had some success against Boston. I'm taking Pittsburgh because of all the things that Boston, tons of playoff experience. Boston, I mean, can play any kind. I mean, you name it. The reasons why I would want to play Boston. It's the same kind of thing. Like, it doesn't matter what the Atlanta Hawks did against the Miami Heat during the regular season.
No, with the Heat coming off a long season where they went to the NBA Finals. Let's go to Ryan in Queens and see what he has to say. Ryan, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. It's obviously too early for Chris Collin right now. Bro, you are you crazy? I'm a Knicks fan, and if I'm the Hawks, I want the Knicks. Like, that doesn't make sense, bro. What are you drunk, Chris?
Why doesn't it make sense? You're hungover. Why doesn't it make sense?
You're hungover. You clearly just said the Heat have more talent than the Knicks.
Yes.
The Knicks want to be the Heat. So why?
As an organization, they want to be the Heat. In other words, they want to be more consistent over the years. It's not that they definitively want to be everything that the Heat are. They want to be a tough defensive team, which they are. They want to have more talent. I'm talking about right now, today, next week. If you ask the Atlanta Hawks who they would rather play, the Knicks or the Heat, they would say the Atlanta Hawks.
But the Hawks
would say the Heat.
Excuse me.
The Hawks want to play the Hawks. See, it's too early for this.
It is too early.
Maybe it is. All right, let's have someone that wants to defend you. Alan Holbrook. Good morning, Al. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. We're doing great, Al. Great. Dave's also doing fantastic. What's up?
All right, guys. I'm going to have to go with Colin on this call. And let me tell you why. If we asked who would the Knicks rather play, to a man, we will all say Atlanta Hawks. And correct. that's based on the regular season. So how could you say now that it doesn't matter?
It's not based on the regular season.
It's not based on the regular season. It's based on the fact
that Miami's a considerably better team than Atlanta.
That's fresh off the NBA Finals. That's what it's based on.
They're better than Atlanta.
They are a better team than Atlanta.
Chris, you agree with that. Miami is better than Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. And I don't think there's any question that you would, if you are the Knicks, there's no question who you'd rather play. You absolutely rather play the Hawks.
And we agree 100%.
Yeah, but that's like, but here's the thing, though. What you're talking about is kind of like leaning on the fact, like, Well, I wouldn't mind playing the Lakers because we beat them during the regular season. Oh, really? You wouldn't mind playing
Knicks
the Lakers?
Knicks-Clippers, great matchup for the playoffs now.
Stop it. See, now you're just embarrassing yourselves.
Well, we're not trying to embarrass myself. How can you sit here and tell me that
because
the
Because 3 weeks ago when they played the Lakers, there was nobody on the court.
No, but here's the point, though, Chris, is that the Miami Heat just played in the NBA Finals. They had zero time off leading into this regular season.
You just admitted that was one of those situations where it was a great run for them.
But I'm not speaking about the run. I'm speaking of how long they actually played. They were on a magical carpet ride. They got all the way to the NBA Finals. They had 70 days off before this season started. How serious were they taking the regular season?
And they started out terribly, and they've turned it around in the last 30 games.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.